It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. 7:04, McMonagle and McPherson in for Boomer and Geo on this Wednesday morning. A lot about the Mets to start, obviously, as Pete Alonso now has 254 home runs, two more than any Met in history, surpassing Darryl Strawberry last night. But the Yankees also played a game. And as I said, they won as well. Two teams in New York won a baseball game last night. First time this month, which is hard to fathom. And you know what, Keith? In the first inning, I wasn't so sure that was going to be the case.
Oh, yeah, they both went down.
As Carlos Rodon in the first inning gave you vibes of bad Carlos Rodon as he loads the bases with nobody out in the first inning. And I'm sitting there going, if this guy is going to ruin an obvious win against the Minnesota Twins, it's one thing we question big games with him. Like, we're all worried. We're both Yankee fans. I don't think that's a secret. And we know that Carlos Rodon, as good as a year as he's had, in the big moment, we still question him. Like, he's going to have to do a lot to get that bad taste out of our mouths of all the big games he's pitched. But although last night wasn't a big game, that's a game you can't allow the Minnesota Twins to break out to a 3-4, God forbid, 5-0 lead early on. And that the fact that he was able to settle in, he got a big strikeout, was able to get out of that inning with just the one run, and then on cruise control and allowed the offense to do what it does. Thankfully, Carlos Rodon got out of that first inning because it was shaky there to start. And that's before we saw with the offense that we'll get to.
Yeah, with Rodon, I'm like, what version of this guy are we about to get tonight? I'm like, no way. And, you know, the keys to the game were like, do it again. Back-to-back wins. Like, you can't just win one game every few days. So with Rodon getting through that first inning, here come the Minnesota Nice guys. He had a bunch of 1-2-3 innings. He had some efficient innings. He had some innings, a 7-pitch inning, 11-pitch inning, where I'm like, okay. He got through the first inning, and he's settling in, and obviously the offense was there. And the biggest thing was he got through seven and preserved the pen.
Yeah.
And they showed him kind of giving Aaron Boone a fist bump, and Aaron Boone saying good job, and them kind of going down the steps to talk. And he could have came out after six. I think he was at 83 pitches, but I think all of us were saying, hey, we need one more out of Rodon. And him and Boone talked about it. And Boone said he just wanted to get a feel for where he was at. He goes out, gets through seven. And he hadn't done that since that Friday night against the Cubs after sweeping the Mariners in that 11-0 game where Cody Bellinger had the three, almost four home runs.
I think he Carlos went eight Rodon, that inning, right?
Yeah, Rodon? He went eight shutout. I was there that night. He went eight shutout that inning. So he needed one of these. The Yankees needed one of these. The bullpen needed one of these. They take the series. And you feel good about whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, and you're right. I think he threw 31 pitches and then threw 31 the next three innings. Like, he immediately got that game under control, and you felt a lot better about it. And then the offense real quickly turned around and exploded. And Anthony Volpe, like, there's a couple talking points about this game with the New York Yankees. Yes, let me preface it to everybody on social media and Twitter who wanted to hit me up anytime you mention anything about these games. Yes, it was the Minnesota Twins. We know this. The Minnesota Twins are terrible. The Yankees own them even when they're good. They traded away 10 of their 26-man roster. These are games the Yankees should win. That doesn't change the fact that Anthony Volpe looks like a completely different person defensively.
Yeah.
Completely different person. He is much more, and it's not even just the throws. He's more aggressive going after balls. Obviously, the throws are much better. Defensively, he is night and day. Night and day from when he was in the midst of his throwing issues. And then last night, the opposite field power. And what I love about it is the swag he's playing with. And that you feel like he needs that. A kid who's really struggled. A kid who knows that the fan base is all over him. Having the yips at shortstop. The idea that not only is he playing well and brought his OPS back to a respectable, you know, kind of league average 7-11, which it is right now. Like, even with doing that, the idea that he's doing it with some confidence and pimping opposite field home runs at Yankee Stadium, I feel like that's a big part of last night and hopefully a part of the resurgence of this miserable team over the last
few months. Volpe is a nice, quiet kid. I said, you know, during that Miami series, I felt like he went to the dark side. He went evil. He went bad. And sometimes that's what's got to happen. Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom to just fight and come out of it, and he has come out of it. Like you said, the bat drop, and he knew he got it. He dropped the bat, admired it. He's got this different swag and aura about him. And then I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I'm so pumped just watching him throw the ball in the air, like not skip a ball in front of the first thing. Like, I am like, yeah, let's go.
Steps.
When he's a vacuum out there now, attacking the ball, getting the ball and firing it in the air to first base. I don't know if there was some type of drill. I don't know exactly what he practiced or changed. But yes, Anthony Volpe has shaken it off. He's quieted the haters.
Yep.
He looks like a different version of himself now.
Now, you got to see it because we've seen stretches of this kind of good play, and then it goes back to what he was, you know, the last month. So he needs to continue it. But then the other, we talked about Stanton already a little bit with the update with Chris. The other big moment is Judge goes deep.
Yeah.
And there is no question. Early. Well, there is no doubt. Now, Boone talked about Stanton still being an outfield option in St. Louis, and they don't know if they're going to, you know, put Judge in the outfield just yet. But Judge is the New York Yankees. We all know this. So the idea that if this team is going to go on a run and actually be a threat into the postseason, they need the best of Aaron Judge. And so far, they haven't really got it since coming back from the injury. Let's be honest. Haven't had it for a while. I mean, as much as the season started and we were all amazed at his, you know, just without any kind of slump whatsoever for the first two
MVP,
and a half months of the
triple
season.
Crown pace,
triple crown hitting 400 for the first 2 months of the season. And we were all just like, wow, this is amazingly enough, we're seeing an even better version of Judge. We haven't seen that for a while. And since the injury, certainly not. So for him to take a fastball, and again, it's against the Minnesota Twins, but for him to hit that home run, it just felt like a lot of the things you're looking for from the New York Yankees, you saw. And even though it's against the Minnesota Twins, and even though they do that, there is such a thing as a get-right game. There is such a thing as beating up on a bad team. We see college football teams do it. They did it in the longest yard, although it didn't end up working out, and the Convicts ended up winning that game. But, like, that's the whole point. You want to see, like, there is a thing to beating the Minnesota Twins and feeling good about yourself. The team needs to feel good about itself. And if they can fool themselves into thinking, hey, we've turned it around because we're beating the Twins, lie to me. Fool me. Let's go.
It's baseball.
Ignorance,
you're going to struggle.
Bliss.
You're going to slump. You're going to commit errors. And yes, when you have the Minnesota Twins right in front of you, that's an opportunity to go out and do what you know you can do. We know Judge is going to hit home runs. That's his first one since coming back. 38 on the year, 353 total. And what it just makes everybody feel like is like, okay, he's returning to form. And then, you know, like you said, they told us he's going to potentially be in the outfield against St. Louis. So we're getting back to, you know, we thought he might need Tommy John. We thought he might be shut down. So it is, you know, just refreshing to see Judge getting some swings. Like, there was he just missed one in the Astros series against Jason Alexander. And I felt like even he knew he just missed it. It was like right before the warning track. He didn't miss that one last night. And whenever him and Stanton homer, usually that's a recipe for the Yankees to win. And like you said, the Yankees go as he goes. He's the captain. Mm-hmm. He's the face of the franchise. So he got us started last night, and they didn't stop after that. Nine runs put up.
And we'll see. The talking point of Stanton in the outfield, so far it hasn't hurt them. So far he's been able to make the plays, but I'm still nervous about Stanton.
How can you not be?
Every time Stanton moves, every time he hits, I wait for them to show him standing on the base just to make sure he's okay.
We haven't seen him get hurt in the outfield. He hasn't played that much outfield. He's been on the base paths.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about him being fully in the game.
Yeah.
Him playing both sides of the ball. He was so dialed in last night. I'm like, oh, this is a guy who won the 2017 MVP as a right fielder, not a DH. Like, this is a guy that at 35 is reminding everybody, hey, I know you make jokes about my speed or my lack of athleticism. I can still do it. And he's lifting the ball in the air. His OPS is reaching 1,000.
Yeah,
he's batting 300. And this is the look of a guy that's like, hey, we're going to the postseason. I don't have too many years left.
Right.
Like, I'm getting us to October if I got to do it my damn self.
No doubt he's been, and that's what I tweeted last night, just get this man to October, because, I mean, what he does, and we're seeing October version of him right now. Like I said, we haven't seen this during the regular season very much. He's been incredible. Now, look, there are still issues with the team, obviously. Jason Dominguez, like, there's a couple of guys here to have real conversations about, because Jason Dominguez, for me, is almost unplayable now in left field. Like, with the way the Yankees play, the outfield they have set, especially if you're going to try and get Stanton in the game, like, you can't have Stanton in right and Dominguez in left. That's unacceptable. That can't happen. So if Stanton plays, Dominguez is not. That's just plain and simple. But that outfield of Grisham, Bellinger, and either Stanton or Judge, hopefully soon, I think that's the outfield you have to go with. I think Dominguez has now played, not, you know, has sat two games in a row, and as much as I care about the development of Jason Dominguez, this is now go time. They have to win. And we're seeing it also with the catcher position. I think those are the two, like, Rice, back-to-back games at catcher. I mean, we might see Ben Rice being the main catcher moving forward here.
1A and Wells be 1B, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it surprised me to see Ben Rice behind the dish the way that he's called games. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, these pitchers and their relationship with Rice. And then obviously his bat is better than Wells. But what you said about Dominguez, it is August now. We saw Dominguez struggle in left field back in March, back in February in spring training.
Yep.
And the Yankees cannot risk outs. They cannot risk putting him out. He's a liability. You need to win all of these games. We're running out of time. So he's young. He's going to have to just deal with it. And they'll find spots where they could play him. But, you know, his development is not a priority anymore. Nope. Defense is the priority.
And as much as the offense, and I know we have a problem with the offense, and listen, the offense, although I'll tell you it's the best offense in the American League and they score the most runs, certainly there are times they get shut down. Certainly that's all offenses. And you always like to have the bat of that, his left-handed bat against right-handed pitching, because that's how good he's been. But the offense isn't the issue with this team. And we have seen this team, and this is what I talk about with Aaron Boone not getting a feel for the team. Like right now, an offensive performance that goes flat doesn't feel like it impacts the team that much. Yeah, they might lose because of it that night, but it doesn't feel like it impacts the team and brings down their emotion or lets them down moving forward. Kicking the ball around in the outfield.
Yeah.
That's what's been the problem for this team. And you watch that Max Fried game, and I'm not trying to take heat off of Max Fried, but there are two balls that just have to be caught. Like, there are just games and plays that have to be made, and he's just not making them. So, like, and every time a ball lands that shouldn't, it just goes through you. We feel it as Yankee fans. There's no doubt we feel it. So there's no doubt the team feels it. Like, it's just at that point where it doesn't matter, man. I like Jason, and moving forward, hopefully he can figure it out with some more seasoning in the offseason. It's just...
It's got too late. It's August. Did you see Chris Kirschner put out a video yesterday? It's Yankees are practicing fundamentals, is what he wrote on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
And it's these guys practicing. So that to me is showing urgency.
Yeah.
Not playing Dominguez in the outfield is showing urgency that, hey, this can't happen. And, you know, for the whole year, everybody talked about the Yankees' lack of fundamentals and going back to the World Series. You can't put guys out there that are going to continue to commit errors, because it just starts to stack on top of each other that, hey, this is what they are. This is Aaron Boone baseball. This is Booney ball. This is how the Yankees play.
Yep. And it is. And that's why you can't allow it as much as you can. You can't prevent it completely, because that's how they've played. But you can limit the damage.
If Dominguez had 20 homers and was hitting better, then it's one thing. But he's not hitting well enough to be out there.
No. Ben Rice is. He is not. Chris in Bridgewater. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Look,
how are you?
We're all Yankee fans. I've been a Yankee fan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This team has no grit. The attitude problem on this team is they don't want to win. And you don't You don't see Paulie Vila's like Jeter anymore, like Bernie.
What does that have? Nobody sees teams like Jeter and Bernie. Where's the other franchises out there that have Jeter and Bernie? Like, stop. Stop complaining. Stop talking about Jeter and Bernie. My goodness. Mo can't even get through the old timers day without pulling his Achilles.
He did have successful surgery.
I hope he's phenomenal. I hope he's back next year out in the outfield. Stop talking about Bernie and Jeter.
Where are you, George? We miss you, George.
Old timers day.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, we got to move on from that. These guys want to win.
His topic, what was written here, was that there's no momentum to be gained from beating the Twins. That is a conversation. I think that's fair. I think for certainly the fans, I'm not telling you. I've tried to make it clear. I'm not telling you I've gained any momentum as a Yankee fan.
Sweep them.
I don't feel overly good about this team because they won these two games. And I know, listen, we're talking about the game. The game was positive. It's hard not to sound positive talking about the game last night. But by no means are we saying that they have somehow turned the corner. All I'm saying is they don't, like, the team doesn't feel that way. They don't look at it. When they're on the field, they're in it. They've been playing lousy. Now they've been playing good. It's possible it sparks them, but I need to see more as a fan. But the idea that, like, we have to compare them on a daily basis to one of the greatest dynasties the sport has ever seen that no team matches up against. We haven't seen a repeat champion since. And we're going to hang that. We're going to talk about, because we saw Old Timers Day and because they had some quotes about what they feel would help change this team. Suddenly, they have no grit. He literally said the Yankees don't want to win. Like,
no, they,
the
they
players
do want to win.
Don't want to win?
Desperately.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's where we get too out of control. I'm as pissed with this Yankee team as anybody. I'm as frustrated with the way they've played over the last 2 months as anybody. But why do we always have to go back 30-plus years and every move Cashman's made and the organization and all its faults? Like, I get it. There's a level of frustration. Like, I think they should be gone, too, if they don't make the playoffs. But I'm listening to Joel Sherman, and I'm sorry. He's like, if they don't make the playoffs, or you're doomed to repeat history. If this doesn't happen, like, you have to fire everybody. Otherwise, it's just lunacy. And, like, I get maybe they should fire everybody. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm open
to
it.
They're not going
to. But the idea that if you repeat the last 8 years or the last 6 years specifically, if you are willing to repeat that, it's absolute lunacy for a team that's been to three ALCSs, won three divisions, and just went to the World Series last year. If you repeat that level of success or somewhat okay with it as an owner, it's absolute lunacy. That's lunacy. That level of success, the idea that someone up high might be somewhat okay with winning three divisions, going to three ALCSs, and getting to the World Series, oh, you have to get rid of everyone who helped you do that. Otherwise, it's sheer lunacy. I have a problem with that.
This is what we get at night after the Yankee games. You know, we should record this. It's being recorded. Play this in the Yankee clubhouse.
I have a problem with
it. For some passion. And, yeah, it's just reality, Chris. Like, we got to stop living in the past. We got to stop going to the core four. And I know, coming off of Old Timers Day, I watched all of that stuff. And I literally tweeted about, hey, that, you know, there's a big difference. But there's a big difference in the world in 2025 versus the late 90s, early 2000s. And with this Yankees team, okay, similar to preseason football, I said, okay, Abdul Carter versus Deion Dawkins look good, but what if he didn't? What if he got pancaked? It's preseason football.
Right.
What if Jackson Dart goes out there and doesn't show you that he can audible at the line of scrimmage, throw a touchdown pass, take a hit, run the football? Think about the converse. If he looked over his head in preseason, then we'd be saying, oh, well, you wouldn't be saying it's preseason football, right? Even with the Jets, Justin Fields, that drive, and they're like, saying that it's the Minnesota Twins, to me, like, it is August. It doesn't matter. And I get it that they traded away 10 players. But it's the fact that the Yankees have gone out there and they've hit well. They've pitched well. They've played defense. Good. You're supposed to get right now. You know, you don't get to make your schedule. But perfect timing to have the Minnesota Twins. So, okay, if you don't have any confidence in this team because they've taken two from the Twins, that's fine. I get it. There's more that they have to show you.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I can't live like that. I can't live in that. Like, those guys get paid too. Byron Buxton gets paid too. Royce Lewis gets paid too. We'll see Joe Ryan tonight, weather permitting. Those guys get paid too.
Yeah.
And they're trying to win as well. They're not trying to step on the greatest stage in Yankee Stadium and being embarrassed. These guys want to get back to the World Series, and they can't do that today, but all they can do is play today, win today. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think anyone is overly confident off of these two wins, but you had to have them. And they got them. And now if they sweep today with a legitimate,
if they would have lost last night just one game to the Twins, the mood would have completely been different. That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
They're handling business. If they would have lost one game to the Twins, people, oh, forget about this team.
All right. Yeah. No, listen, I agree with you. There's things to take out of the game and things to not take. I think that's fair.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
McMonagle and McPherson filling in for Boomer and Geo on this Wednesday morning. Chris Lopresti is with us. What's going on, Chris?
All right, sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball, trademarks used with permission. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Pete Alonso now stands alone atop the Mets' all-time home run list.
Swinging a line drive, deep right center field, out toward that wall. It is gone! A missile into right center field, a two-run home run, and history. Number 253 for Pete Alonso, all alone as the franchise leader in home runs. And listen to this crowd, everybody on their feet.
That's Keith Radd on Odyssey Mets Radio. A two-run shot to give the Mets a 5-1 lead in the third, a lead that Clay Holmes quickly relinquished in the top half of the fourth. But the Mets did not allow a special night to be spoiled. They end up hitting six home runs, including a second for Alonso later in the game. They go on to beat the Braves 13-5. Darryl Strawberry taped a nice message for Alonso that made the rounds last night. And then there was Alonso post-game already talking about who might take down his record in the come.
You got Juan, who's guaranteed 15 years here, so it's like, I mean, he gets on, when he gets on heaters, you never know, he could rip off a couple 50 homer seasons, and he could for sure do it. But records are meant to be broken. But I'm really honored. I'm humbled, and it's really special.
And getting it done on a night where they get a victory to snap a 7-game skid. Here's his manager, Carlos Mendoza.
Special night for him, for all of us, and I'm just glad we were able to witness that. And for Pete, it's all about winning, you know. And that's what he was just saying, telling the boys there. I know he didn't want to make tonight about Pete Alonso. He wanted to make it about the team and the fact that we got the victory.
Back to that clip with where he references Soto and the 15-year contract.
Yeah.
Can we read anything into that? Like, you know, Pete thinking maybe he's not going to be here too long.
No, or maybe just put it out there like, you know, I'd like a contract.
No.
You know, be here for a while. If he's here for 15, you know.
I don't think he's thinking that. What I was thinking was, let's see if Soto can get to 40 home runs, not 50 home runs.
Yeah,
he said rip off a couple 50 home run seasons. Yeah.
But the mentioning of the contract does make me, you know, like he's guaranteed.
He's
guaranteed,
and he used 15,
the word guaranteed
years here.
15 years.
Yes.
Here, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's opt-outs in that contract.
Yeah, Soto's after, after five, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Mets can tack on more money and essentially void the opt-out.
Right, like with Cole.
Yes.
With the Yankees. Yeah, but yes. We all know Pete. He wants a contract bad. He wants a contract bad. He wants to be a Met for life. There's no doubt.
Meantime, you'll often get a fresh Rico Bronya podcast on a otherwise generic Mets night.
Sure.
So you had to know there was one coming last night after history was made.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was, with Evan Roberts driving home from the game.
Oh, the classic drive home Rico.
Yes. He's got the...
Where he's like half off camera.
Well, this one he's on camera, but the phone is, I guess, propped up in his dashboard through the steering wheel. So it's a very interesting angle.
Yes.
If you're seeing the video portion on YouTube. And so he's driving home from the game and, of course, talking Alonzo. But suddenly was distracted by something in the sky.
It was cool. It was important. Felt important at the time, which is, I think, essential. And it wasn't a 10-1 game. It wasn't even the second home run he hit. By the way, I got to stop. I got to stop for 1 second. I am driving, and I am staring at the biggest freaking moon I have ever seen.
And he simply could not look away. As
full moon.
As we would learn.
I wish I could. It's not safe, so I won't. I wish I could turn my phone around to show you the absolute size of this moon. Holy mackerel.
We all have outside.
Like, it is... I mean, I've seen the moon many times in my life. Obviously, we all have. I mean, that's what happens when it's nighttime. This thing is monstrous.
I'm a loser.
For 2 days.
That's the best part.
It's been like that for 2 days.
He's like, he literally goes, I wish I could show you this. Like we've all seen a million times.
Drive
like,
safely. Just drive the car.
I wish I could show you this that we all see every night.
Yeah.
Like that's, oh my
God.
We
have windows.
The back-to-back of the real, I wish I could show you this. The moon like we've never seen, although we see it every night when it gets dark out. That's what happens. Like it's just, only Evan, I
swear.
And
believe it or not, he was still going.
I have not been following the news closely. So maybe there are people out there saying, ah, come on, you should have known it's the bloody moon or the bloodshot moon or the giant moon. Maybe there's a nickname for this. But, Hoff, I'm telling you, I'm looking at, like, the biggest moon I've ever seen. And I don't mean, like, Sean Morash's ass. I mean, like, a giant moon.
Yeah.
But, whatever, I digress.
Yes, he did.
I'm a baby. I have to admit, though, like, on some level, I do recognize when the moon looks a certain way.
All right.
Whether it's really large or whether it's a different, like, hue, a different color. Like, there's a hue.
The last two nights.
Is there a hue?
Mercury is in retrograde, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's some astrology tied to this full moon.
Okay. If only we were there for the opening of Yankee Stadium, we could have taken a rocket ship up to see the moon.
Yeah,
how about that?
Close and personal.
That's correct.
You didn't. I don't know if Keith is aware of that.
They had
Joe Beningo going when he was the host of the midday show that with the new Yankee Stadium, they had all these special features, including for $5 million,
$6 million,
you could have a rocket ship up into the into space. And he's like, "Is it ever about baseball, bro?" Like, you know, he bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
But I recognize those things.
Listen, though, this was after the game, so it's at least, I'm going to say after 10 o'clock.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll get, like, early in the evening,
mm-hmm.
the very large moon, like, lower on the horizon.
Yes.
But by that point in time, other than it being a full moon, could it really have been that much bigger than a standard?
I guess.
Instead of it looking like a dime in the sky, it looked like a half dollar.
Yeah, I don't know. But sometimes I hear what he's saying. I don't know if the time would matter. Maybe it does. I don't know.
I feel like there are instances where it's like very low in the sky.
Yes,
and it's
definitely.
Striking.
I think
then the next thing you know, it's just up in a normal spot and then you don't really think much of it.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I definitely agree with you that in my mind, when I think of like seeing a large moon, I think of it low on the horizon.
Yeah,
definitely agree.
And
with
usually
that.
Not pitch black yet.
I guess. Yeah,
no, I could.
No, I guess sure. Well, because who drives in the middle? Besides me, of course.
Me too. I saw it two nights. I saw the last two nights coming in.
Night. So most of the time you see the moon. But it's probably sometime in the normal night. You know.
Yeah, but this is 10 something.
Yeah, I guess. Well. But yeah, no. What was I just gonna say about the moon? I was going to say something else, very insightful and very interesting, and I've forgotten it. So we'll move on.
That'll happen.
It'll happen.
On a lack of sleep. You know? Though you said you slept decently last night. All things considered.
I just was like, I have to go to bed, and both games were decided in like the eighth inning. Yeah. So maybe just before 10 o'clock and woke up at 2:30. So 4.5 hours.
That's about all you can
That's
do.
That's about the lifestyle
gonna,
we live. That's
if you're going to watch most of these games live.
True.
Pitching-wise, we mentioned Clay Holmes couldn't get through the fourth. His struggles continue. You got Frankie Montas heading out to the bullpen. So they're going to need a starter for, I think it's the Saturday spot coming up this weekend. John Heyman, a short time ago, said Paul Blackburn is coming up to fill a bullpen role for the Mets.
Okay.
But the whole McLean-Sproat conversation on who's going to start in Montas' spot remains unknown. Maybe they kick Holmes to the bullpen at some point as well. So
I doubt they will.
Yeah?
I doubt they will. I mean,
seems to be leaking oil here.
I know. Maybe.
Not saying this turn, but between now
listen, if he throws another game like this, at some point you have to. But, I mean, I still feel like Clay Holmes, and maybe I'm biased because I was the Clay Holmes defender to the nth degree.
That's your guy.
That's
my
guy. I think he's been better than people would have thought. It's a bad start from him. I'll be the first to tell you. I don't know if they're there yet. We'll see.
Because
are you
going to
use him as a one-inning reliever? Like, what's his role in the bullpen?
Well, maybe it's a piggyback situation for him and Montas with the young arms.
Yeah, I can see that. He's the piggyback of one of them and Montas the piggyback of the other. Great.
Easier said than done because then they have to have a couple days off.
Yeah, I can't wait till Sproat gives up two runs in five innings and here comes Montas. Everyone will be very excited for that.
Maybe one of them's the long man and the other's a piggyback, but I don't know. We'll see. That remains to be seen. Tonight you got David Peterson, who has been consistent and dependable, opposed by Carlos Carrasco. It's another 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. We go from Queens to the Bronx, and time now for our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion.
3-2 to Stanton. Runners go. Pitch. Swung on. Hit the right field. A bullet. Clemens going back. Not going to get it. Hits the base of the fence. Scoring is McMahon. Scoring is Judge. Giancarlo Stanton is on fire, everybody. 8-1 Yankees.
You can sit on my face.
Yeah, Dave Sims here on the fan and Susan as well with the advice for Stanton not to run, meaning trying to stretch it into a double.
Yeah, me and Susan are simpatico. I'm thinking the same thing, man. Don't go.
Yes.
That ball's off the wall. I better see you at first base, nice and easy, taking off your helmet and elbow pad and being nice and comfortable at first base.
And I was immediately like, they got a pinch run for him here. Yeah, game's in hand. Let's get him into the dugout.
Off.
Yes,
yep.
That's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up a 9-1 win over the Twins as they continue to own Minnesota. Stanton, the four-hit game, a triple short of the cycle. He's now batting an even 300 with an OPS of 962. He's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game. Brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. On the mound, Carlos Rodon, shaky first inning as he loaded the bases. He ends up getting out of it with the just one run across. Didn't give up a hit the rest of the way. Completed seven innings, much to his own surprise.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you know, not really expecting it after 31 pitches in the first, but baseball's a funny game.
Very efficient after that as he improves to 12-7.
What kind of funny? Ha-ha funny?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of funny am I?
Funny how?
Funny how.
That's right. Tonight, his Yanks will go for the sweep with rookie Cam Schlittler on the mound, opposed by Minnesota's Joe Ryan. We got pregame at 6:25 here on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. Elsewhere around the league, Red Sox beat up the Astros in Houston 14-1, and the Blue Jays defeated the Cubs 5-1. You can also make it 11 in a row for the Brewers now as they destroyed Paul Skenes and the Pirates.
Here's the pitch, and a high fly ball left field. This is way back there. Second deck and gone. A three-run blast for Andrew Vaughn. And the Brewers lead it 12-0. inning.
Obviously, Brewers radio on their way to a 14-0 victory, as they certainly got to Skeens early on and pretty much anyone Pittsburgh threw out there. We talked about Vaughn yesterday. It was, I think, 29 RBIs in 26 games. Now he tacks on a three-run shot, and they win in blowout fashion. No one slowing down Milwaukee right now. Reds dump the Phillies 6-1, so the Mets are two up on Cincinnati for the third and a wild card spot. The Yankees remain a game up on Cleveland for the third AL wild card spot, and they are a game and a half behind Boston in those standings. Jets and Giants had the first of back-to-back joint practices. They were in Florham Park yesterday. They'll be in East Rutherford later on this morning. A lot of Giants missing yesterday's session, including Malik Nabers. He continues to deal with that toe issue that's knocked him out since the middle of last week or so. On the Jets side, Jermaine Johnson activated from the PUP list, coming back from a torn Achilles, and he feels he's doing well.
Great. I'm ready. I feel ready to go, but you know, I trust them. Like I like to say, that they're backing a Ferrari off the truck a little consciously right now, so I understand it, but I'm ready to go.
Taking it slow, and hey, surgically repaired Achilles and all, he feels he'll be better than ever.
I don't make excuses. This injury, in my opinion, I got a cheat code in my leg now. I got a strong Achilles, and I'm faster, so that's kind of how I look at things, and I'll be ready to go when my number's called.
There you go. Good mentality and attitude for him.
You got to believe in it. Like, that's part of it. You have to trust it.
Can't be tentative, right?
Can't be tentative.
Let's go to the Steelers. I don't know if they've got joint practices with the Jaguars. Or they ran into them recently. I don't think they played them in the preseason. Perhaps they did.
Yeah, they did.
They did? Okay, that's my fault then. My mistake. I apologize. So here was Aaron Rodgers talking about how, look, this long in the league, I'm an old guy. You know, when I play these teams, not a lot of familiar faces or guys that I've been around in the league for a long time. Some of them are on coaching staffs now. So with Jacksonville specifically, he'll reference Trevor Lawrence here, but then made kind of an interesting comparison to that realization for him with the Jags.
And I've met Trevor a few times, and I was kind of looking around going, you know, doing the Joe Biden, like, all right, well, I guess I don't know anybody here, so I'm going to just walk off. And I found Cam and TJ, and I walked next to them.
Little Biden.
He's
got to
get it in.
Like,
of
he was
course.
Kind of mocking himself, yes. But still takes a shot
of
at the former president. So,
of course. No, but listen, that's him.
Yeah.
You heard Willie yesterday say Willie was at camp for Pittsburgh, and he said he looks fantastic. That he looks great.
Okay. Yeah. We said the same here.
No one's tackling him.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, now I remember what I wanted to say about the moon. Can I go back to it real quick?
Off of Willie and Steelers camp?
No, off of Joe Biden.
Oh,
that maybe
okay.
maybe we're making the moon bigger because they plan on putting the nuclear reactor on it. Did you see that story that NASA wants to put a nuclear reactor on the moon?
What does that have to do with Joe Biden?
It just reminded me of government.
Oh, all right.
The government wants to put the...
I did not see
NASA's
that.
NASA's talking about putting a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Maybe how about that?
Maybe they're making it large to fit a nuclear reactor.
Maybe.
Maybe you can spend $6 million and take the...
I told Chris that story last week when we were doing the overnight, and then I saw him just bury his head into his phone for like 6 minutes, Googling everything he could about it.
You went down
the rabbit hole a little bit, and I just remembered it. That's what I was going to say. I don't know how I lost it, and then Joe Biden brought it back. Isn't that funny? Joe Biden made me spark my memory.
And Aaron Rodgers with the assist.
And then Aaron Rodgers with the assist. But
How about that?
How
about
back
that?
Around.
You feel much better now. I wanted to say that, and
I feel glad that I got it out there.
Well, I'm very happy
for you
that
you
did.
They're making the moon bigger for the nuclear reactor that's coming.
Okay.
I think that solves it.
It's coming. It's coming. The nuclear reactor's coming.
Take a break.
Okay, I know we got a break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 750, McMonagle and McPherson here with you on the Fan, filling in for Boomer and Geo. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We'll take some calls here in this segment on baseball. Yankees and Mets. We'll get to the football conversation a little bit. I just saw James Cook sign a contract extension with Buffalo. We'll go around the league maybe a little bit. As for those of you who don't know, Keith is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan.
Chill.
And don't let him tell you different. I know he tries. I hear him at night trying to stay. He's a big
I can't.
Big Dallas Cowboys fan.
Disown them. I can't. I don't claim them anymore.
No.
I don't claim them anymore.
But obviously the two teams practicing against each other as well. So we'll have a little football talk as we get you through your morning. But let's take some baseball calls. Obviously, Pete Alonso last night breaks the record. Both teams win. The Yankees had a couple of positive moments from a game that I think, and Keith agrees, it's tough to take too much momentum out of. Hopefully they do. I don't think the fans will yet. But still, positive night for both teams. The first time both teams have won a game together on the same night since July 27th. That's how long it's been. So... today's the 13th of August. Greg in Westbrook. What's up, Craig? Greg, sorry.
That's all right. Hey, how you doing? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I wanted to make I wanted to make the point because the last couple of weeks, everybody's crapping all over the Yankees organization. I'm not a Yankees fan, but I look at their organization, and some of it is just there's these it factors. For instance, the Yankees, if you look at them, they bring up through their farm system guys like Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, who both had real success at a major league level. It didn't last. They also had a couple of pitchers, and the names escaped me in the last 5 years, who also had real success. I don't know if it was injury or what, but that didn't last either. So that's one of the things you can't necessarily predict when you're bringing guys up. The other thing I'll make is that when you look at the parameters that the GM of the Yankees has to operate in, he can't have a losing season. He can't rebuild. So he's got to kind of fix things as he goes along. And looking at this year, I heard everybody dumping on Anthony Volpe. But if you look at him, compare him to Lindor, and I'm not saying he's the same player, but if you took him in, you know, side-by-side comparison, he's holding his own. He's doing fine. And the same goes true with bringing in Bellinger. He's holding his own, and he's doing fine as compared to Juan Soto. And you know they had to go out and get Max Fried because they lost the other pitcher, Gerrit Cole. So it's the situation in which he operates. And I think overall they do a good job. They just don't have losing seasons. And I know for some fans that's not good enough. But, you know, I think they do pretty good.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Greg is hitting all my talk points.
He set you up.
Greg is being the Yankee shill. It's like he's literally, I don't even have to talk. Thanks, Greg. 888-8. No, I mean, what I would say, Cashman is a gangster. Cashman is a gangster. Look, I am disappointed with what's gone on here, and I think it's more than fair. I've always said this, even as I praise him. It's been almost 30 years. They haven't won a championship in 15.
Brian Cashman sucks.
The idea that the Yankee organization has gotten stale and it's time for a change is a fair, more than fair, sentiment to have. I don't think, I would never question that for a second. But I do agree with some of the things he has to say that the fans don't give him credit for, don't understand when they try and talk about, oh, with the lower payroll, look at what the Rays are able to accomplish. Look at what this team's able to accomplish. Brian Cashman can't sit anything out. Brian Cashman every year has to trade prospects for players, whether we think they go for the top players or not. Every year, the trade deadline, he's sending away assets. Every year, they're winning, so they're not drafting at the top of the draft. Every year, he's got to go out and spend money to try and put together a team that can at least compete to win a division. It's not, and again, not good enough to not win a championship for 15 years. Not good enough. But it's not as easy as people think. Let's be honest. Right now, the Mets are as in much of a free fall as the Yankees. They have the highest payroll. I know the Dodgers won a World Series last year. Look at how they're playing this year. They're not, you know, they're
tied now.
They're tied in the division. They've been struggling. You know, it's not just you throw $300 million at a payroll and it's easy to just be a great team. It's not as easy as people think. And I've always said that. And I think Brian Cashman and the job they have done. There's issues, absolutely. I have a lot of, you know, we're hearing more and more about what's going on fundamentally in the farm system, and a lot of it's fair. We watch these players come up. And he also talked about the biggest issue I think that we've seen over the last handful of years and put the Yankees in the position they've been in is not only did Gleyber Torres and Greg Bird and Gary Sanchez not become what we thought they were going to become, but they hit it first.
Sure.
Like, they were decisions made based on the idea that Gleyber Torres was becoming the next young superstar in baseball.
Yeah.
There were decisions made on the 2017, 18, and 19 version of Gary Sanchez that was the premier power-hitting catcher in the sport. Like, people were passed over of the idea of, we have a young core that eventually I'm going to have to pay. And so I don't need Manny Machado because Miguel Andujar just led my team in 8 extra base hits. I don't have to go out and sign Bryce Harper because I've just found a power hitting catcher and I got Gleyber Torres and I got Judge in the outfield. So Clint Frazier, Greg Bird, who came up and was great for them. Like, they came up, they were instantly successful and looked like they were going to be stars for them. They were all stars multiple times over, and then decisions were made based on that, and then they failed, which is their fault. It's their fault they failed too, but it's just like part of it is, I think that's as big a reason for some of the Yankee troubles as we've seen. But yeah, moving on from Brian Cashman, being disappointed in the organization is fair. Hating them with the passion of a thousand suns and thinking they are completely incompetent and that Brian Cashman has no freaking clue what he's doing, that I have a problem with.
I don't get the fans that hate the team to the point where they say they want to see them miss out on the postseason. That doesn't make any sense because they're not firing anybody anyway. So you don't want to get October baseball. You want to completely be on the outside looking in and have the same manager, same general manager, whatever. We lost to the Dodgers last year, right? World Series. We were embarrassed. But the run differential will tell you a different story. I know. I went to the games. It wasn't that close. But the Dodgers, now that get called the new evil empire, they're 12-20 since July 4th. That puts them in the company of the Braves, who the Mets hopefully sweep and beat up on, the Rockies, the Nationals, and the Rays as the worst record since then. As many people are talking about the Yankees' record since June, the Dodgers have been struggling since July 4th. What about Mookie Betts, right? He's been struggling. They have a ton of injuries, and we always applaud their management for adding and for trading, and obviously the deferred contracts. Okay, they got it. But you know what? What you said about Brian Cashman is 100% correct. He's in a spot where the Yankees draw the most fans in the American League, so they have to have stars on the field. He has to always pivot to the next guy to trade for or sign. Look at how many new Yankees are on this team. As so many people want to lump the Yankees of the last years together or the last few years together, there's so many guys on this team. This is their first year. This is Trent Grisham's really his first year playing. Cody Bellinger's first year. This is Ryan McMahon's first month playing here. You know, even the young guys like Ben Rice, Dominguez, this is their first opportunity. Will Warren, Cam Schlittler, who we'll see tonight. So it's still very new. Let's give this team an opportunity to show us that they want to win, you know, are going to fight to get to wherever they're going to go. And like, realize Brian Cashman's job, he does very well. And he might have the hardest job of any GM in baseball.
Yeah, he's also got to figure out who can handle New York and who can't. All right, well, we'll get to that in a little bit as well. Taking your phone calls. Pete Alonso Day, we'll get to the football as well. McMonagle and McPherson filling in for Boomer and Geo on this Wednesday morning.